As we move from the KSRO greenhouse to the KSRO kitchen, we encounter Chef John Ash in the kitchen.
So I'm here.
And with that, the show is underway. Okay. Celebrating actually October 1987, we kicked off the Good Food Hour as well as Garden Talk, and delighted that so many of you have been with us over the last 34 plus years enjoying the great food and drink talk that we have brought to you. And we hope to continue to do so for many, 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 many more years. Several years ago, John Ash received another in his lengthy career of cookbook awards, and that was for the book Culinary Birds, the ultimate poultry book. And I don't think it's not too much of an exaggeration to say ultimate. It's a spectacular, and it won the James Beard Award for Best Single Subject Cookbook. And a few weeks ago, you wrote in honor of chickens in local Press Democrat newspaper about what has transpired over the last 4 or 5 years since you wrote this book, improvements in chicken husbandry, and included a number of recipes. We haven't got a chance to talk about that
yet. Yeah.
So when you you wrote the book, was it 2014?
Yes.
So that's the research a year before, so 6-7 years before. You write in the article that some local brands that meet the standards of great chicken are Mary's, which we know and love, Bell and Evans, Whole Foods, Sonoma Meat Company. And then, which was surprising, you included Purdue, which I always thought of this huge multinational corporate. But they've purchased a lot of the local high-quality poultry producers in the United States.
Yes, they did. So they purchased Petaluma Poultry, who we, you know, have been associated with for many, many years.
Nyman Ranch?
And Nyman Ranch is not part of the Purdue thing. Purdue's an interesting company. They've really made a commitment to do things what I describe as ethically, you know, so that the acquisitions and the growth that they're making with their company isn't investing in these 60,000 bird awful houses that are out there that, you know, it's not a humane way to raise anything, but for chickens too, and it's one of those things. Poor chickens. Most of the chicken that we eat in the from these conventional chicken houses, they're no more than 7 weeks old. You know, so you would think that if you only have 7 weeks on Earth, you could be treated a little better than they are in these places. And unfortunately, and I'm going to mention it, but you know, one of the ones that's a big producer and sells lots in our area and all that stuff is Foster Farms, who have not met the standard, and it's too bad. I wish they would.
So think about, and you give us some guidelines about what to think about, because there's a lot of misunderstanding about the chicken we get in our markets, and what you tackled was these buzzwords, these hype words that who knows, hormone free, antibiotic free, natural chicken, free range chicken. It's so confusing.
Well, and a lot of it is just hype. You know, it doesn't have any standard. There's no enforcement of it and all of that. So one of the things that I suggest to people is that you look for the people who really prominently display it are Whole Foods, but others do too, is the animal welfare certified label. That should be the thing that's there, because they are third-party certified. People go to visit them at least once every 15 months or so, so that you have somebody checking in on what's going on in the raising of the chickens. And some of these terms that you just mentioned, hormone-free, is one of those things that started to show up again with chickens. You know, we haven't used hormones, or hormones haven't been used with chickens since 1960, so it means nothing. And the reason for that is because they are harvested, I guess is the kind way of saying it, in such a short period of time, the 7 week period, that being hormone free, adding hormones wouldn't do anything to them to do that. The use of antibiotics, they do that, especially commercially raised chickens. So it's something to be conscious of. because they are, you know, one chicken gets sick, then they all get sick, and so that's a way of doing it. So it is important to look for that antibiotic thing. The natural thing actually means nothing. There's no standard for that at all. You can call anything natural, I guess, and I guess it is natural, you know, in a way. So that's what it is. And free range, as I said in my little article for the Press Democrat, it sounds like a good thing. You know, they get to get out and walk around and all of that stuff. But I remember years ago when we had Alan Shansky on the show,
founded Rocky and Rosie.
He was the one who started that with Petaluma when he and his family owned Petaluma Poultry. Well, he said an interesting thing. He said, you know, chickens, he said, you can open up a big door for them at the chicken house and they won't go outside. That's just their nature. But the idea that that we have of seeing chickens wandering around in big commercial operations just isn't true. Certainly homegrown chickens, that's a whole different thing.
Okay. Well, at the end of the article, you gave some suggestions about what to look for when you buy the chicken. Antibiotic-free, I guess, if possible. And it has to be stated there on the label.
Yeah.
And then humanely, wholesomely grown, and that's difficult to determine.
It is, but if you're going to make the statement, somebody's going to check up on you. So, I mean, you can't falsely advertise things.
Organic and certified by a reputable third party, that has to be vetted.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Fed a vegetarian diet.
Yes.
That's I think, important.
It is really important because, you know, I don't know, I don't want to go too deeply into it, but when chickens would die in the hen house, they would take them, you know, before they were ready to harvest, they would take them and grind them up and feed them back to the chickens. And it's just not a good practice and suggests roads to all kinds of diseases and things like that that shouldn't be there.
And then something we've seen in the past few years are air-cooled chicken.
And the reason for that, why that's so important, is that once a chicken was harvested, I keep using that word because it's a kinder word, they typically used to, and some places still do this, and that's why you want to look for this air cool thing, they would take them and immediately dunk them into a big tank of ice water. And they would just do that constantly over and over and over again. Well, that water would become so, if there were suspect little microbes and things like that in the water, you would just be reinfecting every chicken that went into it. And so this idea of air cooling puts some space in between each chicken. So,
that makes sense too.
Yeah.
Well, those are a lot of good guidelines.
Yeah.
And your chicken roots run deep. I mean, as a child, weren't you a member of the Future Farmers of America?
I was.
And you were 10 years old raising chickens?
Yeah, even younger than that. Yeah, raising chickens and showing them and all of that stuff, you know, which is great. I think one of the things I always enjoy when we get to do the Cloverdale Citrus Fair is to go see the chickens that are on display there. And there's so many breeds of chickens which are not bred for eating or hen laying or egg laying. They're just so beautiful, and they're, you know, it's fun to go see them. So hopefully there will be a Cloverdale Citrus Fair.
Let's keep our fingers crossed. Did you display at the fair with your chickens?
Yeah, I did.
And did your grandma dispatch the chickens for food?
She did. She did. I have that so clearly in my mind. Had an axe and a stump, an old tree stump, and she'd take the chicken out there. And she didn't do it often, but sometimes just to entertain me, she would let the chicken run around.
Grandma. So the recipes you gave, boy, you start off on with a real bang, Korean fried chicken wings.
Uh-huh.
These have become very popular.
They are, and they're easy to do, and they're really spicy, which is great if you like spicy wings.
Ginger, garlic, soy sauce, rice vinegar, sesame oil, a little honey. This gives it that lovely. And the gochujang, which is
gochujang.
The Korean hot sauce.
Hot sauce,
it? And we bought one container, and it's lasted us for over a year. Two years almost.
Yeah.
And it's still hot and tastes delicious.
Yeah, it does. Keep it refrigerated.
Oh, we do.
Yeah, good.
And you use rice flours or corn flour?
The idea of rice flour and corn flour, well, there are a couple of things there, is that number one, you can use rice flour and cornstarch or corn flour if you have gluten issues. So you don't have to use wheat. In this recipe, I use all three. But if you had gluten intolerance issues, you could just use the rice flour and the cornstarch. And it works really well. And the great thing about rice flour, this is with anything that you fry, you end up getting this shatteringly crisp crust that is just better than just plain flour alone.
And what I've subbed out when I make my chicken wings, I use a combination of rice flour and corn flour instead of the cornstarch. So you have this wonderful, not corn starch.
Corn flour is a different deal. Yeah.
And it's really good.
Yeah, it's good. It's great. And you can actually use other flours. So once you go down this thing, I've substituted garbanzo flour. And all of that, and they all work.
They all work well. So that's a wonderful recipe. There's also the chicken and shrimp meatball soup, which I love. That's a great riff. The chicken and rice soup with egg and lemon, another great, was getting moving to some cool weather eventually. Vietnamese salad with chicken, I'm partial to that.
Yeah.
And that's easy to put together.
Oh, it's
really
easy. Yeah.
And use breasts or thigh for that.
You can use whatever. I use thighs in here, but you can use whatever you have. It's also delicious. With leftover chicken, if you've got chicken that you bought at the market or something like that, that's already been cooked off, then use that.
Here's an old standard that, since we're still getting 95 degree weather, would be apropos, and that's the chicken Waldorf salad.
Yeah.
Wonderful summer. Usually we think about in the summer for that dish, but we're still having such heat.
Well, you can use it all the time. Well, there's a wonderful little backstory to that, too. Waldorf salad was named after, founded by, or created by a chef back in the 1890s who was the chef at the Waldorf Astoria in New York. He created this thing. And originally, it was really simple. It was just apples and celery and mayonnaise and a little bit of seasoning. And so over the years, it's been expanded a little bit. So this one includes some nuts and grapes and apples. And
the famous brick chicken?
Yes.
You flatten that sucker, right?
You spatchcock it, which as people are still mystified. I think it's that term, spatchcock. But basically what it is remove the backbone and flatten it out, and it just cooks a lot faster and the skin gets crisper.
And you get beautiful golden skin. And then you have something called the country captain chicken casserole.
Yeah. That was from the book, which was interesting in my search for historical recipes. This was one of those and if you grew up in the South, especially the Deep South, the Carolinas and places like that, you know all about country captain chicken because it's believed that its roots were from India, but the people in Savannah, Georgia, claim that it's theirs because Savannah was a great shipping point for things coming in from overseas and we shipping things out and all that stuff. So if you go to Savannah, look for country captain.
Okay.
Chicken.
Well, why don't you choose during the break a few recipes which we'll post on our KSRL Good Food Hour website. Chicken-inspired recipes.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah, that'd be great.
We'll take a break. We'll come back, and we're going to do our... I'll tell you about it. It's going to be a lot
Steve
of fun.
Steve Garner has
I've got
nuts.
A wild idea. We're going to be talking to Samantha Jones, PhD, who is a food scientist and culinary debunker of commonly held wisdom about food and beverages. And we have our able-bodied producer, Michelle Marquez, who's going to come into the KS Arnold kitchen and assist us in this first of its kind live experiment. We're not experimenting on Michelle, but she will help participate.
Isn't it interesting how people take on these challenges? This is a good one.
It should be a lot of fun. That's coming up next.
KSRO is online at KSRO.com. Streaming powered by Hudson Street Design, a Healdsburg Lumber Company.
The smell of warm chocolate chip cookies always greeted her when she stayed at Grandma's. She loved baking with Grandma and talking about whatever came to their minds those beautiful Saturday afternoons. After the cookies were done, and they had to try a few just to make sure they were okay, they'd slip away to Grandma's car. Off they went to a special store filled with everything imaginable for the kitchen and home. They walked through aisle after aisle while Grandma would stop and explain about a special pan or kitchen tool, her eyes wide with excitement because Grandma loved to cook. The young girl grew up a little in that kitchen on those Saturdays so long ago, and now her kids are having kids. How things have changed, except one thing. She still shops at the same store Grandma did, Hardesty's Homewares. Four generations of trusted Hardesty's to have the quality and personal service for those who love to cook and entertain. There's no place like home. There's no place like Hardesty's. Hardesty's Homewares, open Monday through Saturday in Farmers Lane Plaza at the corner of Farmers Lane and Bennett Valley Road in Santa Rosa.
Enjoy the harvest at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market. The market has lots of fall and winter veggies, nuts, and meats from your favorite farmers and ranchers. Aroma Floral has beautiful fall, pepper, and lavender wreaths. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market has artisan foods ranging from fabulous bread, olive oils, balsamic vinegar, marinades, tea blends, to hummus, and handmade pastas. Browse the artisan area for handcrafted gifts. Start your day with friends at the market. They're here to greet you year-round Wednesday and Saturdays, 8:30 to 1 at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun. The market is committing to creating a safe place to shop, offering hand washing and sanitizer. Face masks are required.
During COVID-19, Poppy Bank opened its doors to the entire community, securing close to $100 million for small businesses through the Paycheck Protection Program. Recognized as one of the strongest financial institutions in the nation, Poppy Bank is on the front lines, committed to being a valued partner and helping the community through this trying time. Contact us today at poppy.bank. And remember, together we will thrive. Member FDIC.
In the KSRO kitchen this Saturday morning, I'm Steve Garner along with John Ash, celebrating 34 years this October. And in all these 34 years, we have never done a live hot pepper tasting on the air. Can you believe that?
I know.
Well, it took you calling my attention to a wonderful website produced by the American Chemical Society along with PBS called Reactions, in which they help to debunk culinary and drink-wise long-held wisdom. And with us is Dr. Samantha Jones. Hi, Samantha. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, we got a hearty laugh watching your face contort in many different directions, eating hot peppers on YouTube and going through a methodical research study about what would actually quench the heat from the peppers. Tell us a little bit about ACS, what the organization does, and how you launched the Reactions website.
Yeah, absolutely. So the American Chemical Society is one of the largest scientific societies in the world, actually. So our headquarters are in Washington, D.C., although we are all working remotely currently. Yeah, so ACS does a lot of different things. We're, you know, in charge of a bunch of different scientific journals, so there's this whole academic side, but then there's also a public outreach side, and so that's the side that I work on. So the Reactions channel, it's a collaboration between the American Chemical Society and PBS Digital Studios, and it's actually a YouTube series, so you can find us on YouTube. We have tons and tons of videos. And we've been around since 2014, actually. So a big back catalog if you want to check anything out.
We're gonna ask you about bacon and cilantro and baking potatoes and a few other things, but we want to get right in to the hot pepper one. How did that get set up?
Actually, so that was one of our producers pitched that idea. And I think that, our producer, Andrew, who he produced the video itself, he loves spicy food, but he doesn't like to be on camera. And because I'm the writer and host, I'm kind of a shoo-in, I guess, and it's part of my job. I wouldn't say I have a great tolerance, but my tolerance is better, it turned out, than our exec producers. So the idea was to kind of start out and just eat a part of a raw serrano pepper every day and just see if, you know, after a week or 2 weeks, we built up some kind of tolerance. It, you know, was it less painful? We went pretty big, pretty fast.
And what was the result of that? I mean, if you eat them regularly, yeah. Do you build up a tolerance to spicy?
You do. Ultimately, you do. You start to desensitize that receptor that normally would make you feel that pain. So you do, but then it also does wear off. And because we really didn't have any tolerance going in, it was just incredibly painful, and it would have probably taken us many weeks. But then the pandemic hit. And so we started to kind of rethink the video idea, and then we thought, okay, maybe instead of thinking about trying to build tolerance, we should think about how to deal with the burn itself, which is what led us to a really interesting study that was kind of looking at, you know, different combinations of proteins and fats and sugars and sort of what that perfect thing might be. So that's what brought us to the taste test.
So how many tell us about the video itself. How many substances did you try to quell the burn?
So I think George ended up trying, at least in the video itself, we both had about a handful. Mm-hmm. And so I'm also lactose intolerant, so I had to look for products that don't have lactose, because I don't know about either of you, but I always grew up thinking milk is like the one and only answer for dealing with things that are spicy, but I can't drink milk. So I was trying to find other options that might be just as good and maybe even better.
So I know you tried milk, whole milk, half skim milk. You tried cheese. I think brie cheese, and a number of other things.
Yeah.
So we have Michelle Marquez, who's our producer, who is willingly donating her mouth to science today.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, she's in the corner. Say hi, Michelle.
Hello. Nice to meet you, Dr. Jones.
Nice meeting you, Michelle. You're a real trooper.
Michelle, her job depends on it. So here's what secretly,
she'll eat anything.
So Samantha, here's what I did. You don't know this, but I just learned that this week Dunkin' Donuts introduced their Dunkin' Spicy Ghost Pepper Donuts.
Oh my gosh, that is so funny. I did not know about those.
Which is one of the hottest peppers in the world, as you know. Spicy Ghost Pepper and Cayenne Donuts. So this morning at 7 a.m. on the way to work, I stopped at Dunkin' Donuts and I purchased these special pink frosted bold blend cayenne ghost pepper donuts. So Michelle is going to taste these frostings. Nice. And I also purchased a pint of vanilla Häagen-Dazs ice cream.
Oh, nice.
So your research better hold up.
Yeah. I know. Well, I think that's your best. I do think that that's your best bet. So I'm hoping that you're not in pain for too long.
All right, here we go. So I'm going to try it.
So while we chat, Dr. Jones, Michelle is going to be licking or biting the strawberry-flavored ghost pepper frosting off the donut.
Okay, that definitely is spicy. Okay.
So Michelle does not have fire coming out of her nostrils yet.
Okay, good. That's a good sign.
So Michelle, keep on eating some of
the... All right, I'm going to have some more donut because it's spicy, but it's not bad, horrible spicy.
Okay. Well, we were saying that, I mean, if you're a company like Dunkin' Donuts who's selling to the big broad public, mm-hmm. it can't be too crazy.
I mean, you can't have a million Scoville units in this donut.
Yeah. Right, and people suing you and that sort of thing.
So you did find out that ice cream, is that what you learned was the best?
Yeah. And actually, I found out that a lactose-free, like a coconut variation for me actually worked well because things being really cold is super helpful. And then if something is fatty and has a lot of protein on top of that, it's even better.
Okay, so the lactose-free ice cream was not ice cream.
And coconut.
Yeah. Coconut ice cream.
Coconut milk ice cream is delicious.
Coconut milk.
Yeah.
Okay, that was the best. What did you think about the cheese? Was that helpful at all?
So I actually found that for me, so a lot of cheddar cheeses are naturally lactose-free, and so I'm able to eat a lot of those. And so the cheese I found was actually more helpful than the almond milk. It was way more helpful than that.
But still, the ice cream, the almond,
coconut. Oh, yes.
The coconut, was the best.
Yeah, the coconut milk-based ice cream was by far the best.
Okay, Michelle's eyes are starting to turn red. They're turning red.
Oh, no.
No, that's not true. It is spicy. I definitely can feel the spice on my tongue and in my mouth. So I'm going to try some of the vanilla ice cream now.
Okay, now she's eating some ice cream. Isn't this exciting, Sam?
I know. This is great. Usually I'm the one suffering for a show.
You know what? It works pretty instantly.
It does?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Woo!
It does. It works really well. Just one, I ate all of the, because all the spice was in the icing on here, so I just picked off all the icing, didn't want to eat an entire donut. Ate that, had the nice spicy flavor in my mouth, and it, after one bite of ice cream, it really did sort of tone things down.
God, isn't
it work?
Awesome.
Yeah.
Isn't science great?
Yeah.
And I'm going to keep eating ice cream. Yay!
Well, good. So your research proved valuable. It's interesting, some of the comments that people made on the website. Why didn't you try lemon juice? Why didn't you try salt? Why didn't you rinse your mouth with vegetable oil? Yeah. Now, to me, if someone gave me a list, like, Steve, you're going to eat hot peppers. You can either rinse your mouth with lemon juice, salt, vegetable oil, or ice cream. What would you choose, John?
I'd definitely go for the ice cream.
So were you surprised by those comments, or I'm sure you were flattered that people were looking at the YouTube post and responding?
No, I think, you know, I honestly love when we get comments, you know, comments that are asking questions and wondering why we did something one way versus another, because it just shows that people are engaging with the content and that they're interested in the science, you know, and that's the goal of the channel.
There were a number of other posts, of course, cilantro, bacon, and also did you participate in how to roast a potato?
Yeah, so the cilantro, sort of, you know, why does bacon taste so good and why do some people feel like cilantro tastes like soap? Those videos actually were produced before my time. Of course, I know about the videos, so I'm happy to chat about them. But the roasted potatoes one was one that I was also the test subject in the video, trying out a bunch of different things, trying to see if, you know, if you take potatoes and you actually boil them in water that's acidic or basic beforehand, so kind of playing with pH, if that's going to give you a better roasted potato. And I think I found what worked for me, at least, which I loved and then used for Thanksgiving and Christmas last year.
So tell us what it is. What's the secret?
Yeah. Yeah. So I found that my favorite potatoes were actually, if you add to... I believe it's about, for every 4 quarts of water, about like a quarter to a half tablespoon of baking soda. And so what it does is it actually will break apart the starches in the potato a bit. So then what you do is, you know, you cut the potato into wedges. You put it in the water that has a little baking soda in it. Boil it till they start to float, pull them out, toss with oil and whatever seasonings you want, and then put them on a baking pan and bake them like you normally would if you're making potatoes in the oven. And then that actually makes the inside, even though the outside gets very nice, it gets really nice and crispy because you're sort of spreading the starches around as well when you mix it up in oil. But then when you actually eat them, once they come out of the oven, they're crispy on the outside, but they're a little bit softer on the inside. And I found that it was just so good.
Well, there's your...
There you go.
Yeah.
That's from the KSRO Science Corner this morning.
So can I share something with you about baking soda? I was fooling around with trying to make the best hummus I could possibly make and discovered that if you added some baking soda, if you soak the dry chickpeas, dry garbanzos overnight, which is the basis for hummus, soak them overnight with a bit of baking soda. Then when you cook them, the skin comes right off, or you may have to rub it a little bit to get it off, because it...
Oh, cool.
And then when you make the hummus, you take those peeled chickpeas and throw them in the blender or in the food processor, and oh my goodness, it makes the smoothest, creamiest...
That think they hate hummus.
Yeah.
Because I tried this, John, because I was a hummus hater.
Yeah.
And once you exposed me to this technique, I love it.
Yeah.
A whole different story.
Yeah, it's a different product.
So there's something for you to take back to the lab.
Yeah.
Samantha.
That's awesome. That's great.
Well, thank you for participating in our first ever hot pepper experiment. Michelle Marquez, she's still eating the ice cream.
So, Samantha, what are you working on next?
Oh, wow. That's a really good question. We we always have, you know, a handful of videos kind of that we're working on at the same time. But one that's related to things that are, well, I guess you could call it kind of food related, is one on kombucha. which is such a, you know, it's kind of started as this kind of like health trend, and people want to understand like gut bacteria and whatnot. But we tried to figure out like what kinds of things you could actually quote kombucha. So just like playing around with whether it be apple juice or coffee or wine or other things to see if we could actually get that fermentation process going.
Good. Is that going to be posted pretty soon, that video?
Yeah, that should be out, I believe, in 3 weeks.
Okay.
So we have a couple other videos, but yeah, that'll be out soon. So for people who are kind of interested in food, maybe interested in kombucha as a trendy health thing and want to learn a little bit more about it, that will be coming your way pretty soon.
Samantha Jones, PhD from ACS Chemistry for Life, and the YouTube wonderful channel Reactions. Go to it, enjoy it, laugh and learn at the same time. Thank you for joining us at KSRO, the Good Food Hour this morning.
Thank you both so much. This was fun.
Our pleasure. Best to you. Bye-bye. There she is. And Michelle Marquez, outstanding job.
You know, I have to sacrifice for our art.
That's right. I noticed that you're eating more of the ice cream than you are of the donut.
Well, it kind of like, it works immediately, but then you have to like, there's still spice in my mouth, so I have to just keep eating it.
Okay, so you have to continue.
So this
to...
is my pint of ice cream.
Yes, it is. Oh, it is.
It is.
Well, it is the single serving size.
We'll take a break, and we have some news about a restaurant that just closed after 30 years but is reopening. And we were there right at the opening 30-plus years ago. We'll talk with the owners of this wonderful restaurant as the KSRO Good Food Hour continues. I'm Steve Garner, along with Chef John Ash.
Join the switch to crystal clear KSRO-FM, 103.5 Santa Rosa, Windsor, 94.5 Petaluma. Hear the difference.
Austin here from More Home Services. Think about it. The two times heaters are most likely to break are at the beginning of the season after it's been sitting idle all summer, and then later on, the first time it really gets cold and your heater has to work extra hard to keep your home warm. Then guess what? Everyone else's heater goes out too, and it's hard to get a technician out to fix it right away. Don't get stuck. Call More Home Services to perform a precision tune-up and professional cleaning on your heating system now. It costs just $88 and it only takes 90 minutes. And we guarantee your heater won't break down all season or your money back. Think of it like breakdown insurance. $88 now for peace of mind all winter long, plus a more comfortable home and lower energy bills. Call More Home Services now and schedule your precision tune-up and professional cleaning for just $88. Our number is 707-505-8000. That's 707-505-8000. Or you can find us online at morehomeservices.com.
You know, I'm asked that more and more all the time.
Dr. Walter Tom loves questions.
Absolutely not. You're never too old to have healthy appearing skin.
In fact, Dr. Tom thinks you should ask as many questions as you like before any procedure.
Skincare is important no matter what our age. We can make you feel great about yourself by improving the quality of your skin, by enhancing the look in your eyes, and give you a vibrant, more youthful look with medical treatments rather than surgery.
Dr. Tom is never in a rush and thinks that every question is a good question.
You can see the progress being made and only pay for those steps as we go along in the process.
Dr. Tom was voted the best cosmetic surgeon in the North Bay. Find out why. Make an appointment today for a free consultation. Go online to drwaltertom.com. Dr. Tom loves questions.
Hydrofacial, chemical peels, microneedling. These straightforward steps are a nice way to avoid surgery and look the best you can at any age.
An official message from Medicare.
So, did you try it yet?
Comparing plans? Oh, yeah. They sure can change year to year.
Well, I found lower prescription costs and historically low plan premiums.
Ooh, how about those new insulin savings? Hundreds of plans, $35 a month.
That'll save you money.
Comparing plans really pays.
Mm-hmm.
Compare plans from home at Medicare.gov or call 1-800-MEDICARE. Open enrollment ends December 7th. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
These are challenging times, and the loss of a loved one can make it even more challenging. Egan and Lance Chapel and Fred Young Funeral Home are here to help. Funeral or cremation arrangements can be made online through srmel.com. They're fully flexible to help families in Sonoma County in any way possible. They even offer live streaming so loved ones can watch a service from anywhere in the world. They also have recently been certified for green burials, meeting all requirements. A tradition since 1924, Egan and Lance and Fred Young Funeral Home are locally and family owned. Go to srmel.com. That's srmel.com. MEL.com.
I'm KSRO's Dan Trusius with Sonoma County's most accurate, most dependable forecast. A bit cooler this weekend, high 91 today, 74 along the coast with partly cloudy conditions, mid-90s for the warmer spots of the county, mostly cloudy skies overnight, low 53, 51 on the shores. Sunday, still some clouds, high 85, 68 along the coast. Monday, blue skies, mid-80s expected, high 60s in Bodega Bay. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 94.5, KSRO.
It is October 2020, and that means it is our 34th anniversary in the KS Hardo Kitchen. Chef John Ash and me, Steve Garner. And about, I don't know, it must have been 30 years ago, we heard a little restaurant opening in Kenwood called Cafe Chiti. Mm-hmm. And it was owned by this couple, Linda and Luca Chiti. And we were talking about, hey, you know, maybe we should have them on. And you told me, John, Linda used to work for me at John Ash and Company in Montgomery Village.
That's right.
Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Steve and John. How are you?
Good.
So
good.
When did you work for Mr. Ash?
Well, let's see. I worked, I worked at the River Road facility over near the Vintner's Inn.
Oh.
Yes.
But you also worked in Montgomery Village. This was, I think, before or at the same time that you met Luca. Do you remember that?
Yes, exactly.
So that was that was a long time ago.
I think that's about when you guys started this show.
Yeah. It was probably the late 80s. So you met the lovely Luca in Italy and you came back and you said, let's open a restaurant. Is that how it happened?
Yes, well, actually, he was here for a few years. He was working at Trevigne, and I was working at John Ash. And, we started thinking, hey, why can't we do this? We want to do this. We want to have a little place of our own. And so thanks to my parents, we were able to secure a little spot there in Kenwood. And we then got married, took our honeymoon, went to Italy for the summer frantically, writing down all the family recipes and trying out all kinds of foods everywhere we went, and came home and started the restaurant, actually almost 30 years to the date, October 26, 1990.
So what were over the years, what have been the most popular dishes that you've done there?
Well, I would have to say that the standouts are the ravioli, Luca's famous ravioli with the chiti sauce, which is a tomato basil cream sauce. That's a big one. The next, of course, is our rotisserie chickens a la Toscana, which we stuff with fresh Italian herbs and we roast for over 2 hours. Our Caesar salad, is probably next on the line, and I think the list goes on, but we've been so fortunate and blessed to have been supported all these years.
Well, my wife and I ate at Chiti the day before you closed in March, the day before we were there. And we sure were. We didn't know that it was going to be a permanent closure. And I know a lot of things led to that. The building stability, the upgrades needed, the ongoing power shutoffs, the fires that you've endured for the last 4 years or so, COVID business, all of this. It was a surprise announcement for us that you decided that you did have to announce that you were closing the doors this week.
Yeah, the pandemic was definitely a curveball for everybody, particularly the restaurant business. I think we shut down for one day, and then we said, hey, you know what? We have all this food. We have all this inventory. We don't want to go to waste. Let's just try to sell takeout, and blow through our inventory. And people were just coming in, and they were so happy we were there and open, and we realized that, you know what, maybe we can just keep doing this. It seems like, you know, that this, there's enough support there. So we've been doing takeout only since the middle of March for the last 7 months. And that was part of what helped us come to this decision was, what, you know what, we think we can make this work. We think it's sustainable. And particularly with the, you know, the environment that we're dealing with right now with COVID, you know, I think it's going to be a while before restaurants can get back to normal. And it's you know, it's hard to keep going when you're, you know, your hands are tied.
Well, yeah. There's been an outpouring of love and support. I can't tell you how many times we were there and we would see a gaggle of teenagers in their dresses and their tuxedos mm-hmm. coming in for graduation, for a meal that they could afford, or birthday parties or anniversaries. It's been the lifeblood of the community mm-hmm. in Eastern Santa Rosa, Kenwood, Glen Ellyn, Oakmont, all of that for 30 years. But you have found a new spot to move to.
We have, and you know, that outpouring of support and all of the stories, you know, as I read through all the posts, you know, they make us so grateful and humbled and, you know, emotional. And, you know, a lot of those were my kids. You know, my kids grew up there, you know, from their baptisms to their, you know, proms and graduations and whatnot. It's been a huge part of our life and, you know, I think a lot of others as well. But I think one of the sweetest comments I read was from someone in Kenwood who said, you know, you could go in there and you would know everybody and you could eavesdrop on all the conversations and keep up on the local news. And she said it, Cafe Chiti was like our version of Cheers in Kenwood.
Everybody and knows your name.
Yes.
So where are you moving to?
You want to answer me?
Hi, Steve. Hi, John.
Hey. Hey, Luca, your English has really improved.
incredible. It took 30 years, but...
when Luca and Linda came to the show, John, this was 1990.
I remember.
Luca, you didn't speak much English, and we asked listeners who spoke Italian to call and talk with you, and that was such a wonderful moment when several listeners called and talked Italian with you.
I don't change that much. That's all... Don't think I'm pretty close to still at that level.
So where are you moving to?
We're gonna move like in 4th Street, right beside Hank's, and it's a little place. It used to be the Pipe Store, I believe.
The Whole Pie.
Yeah.
And it's a nice. I got a good feeling when we went inside. It's a nice place.
So will your focus be mostly on takeout or dining? Yeah. Okay.
Yes, John. It's 800 square feet.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's all kitchen. So
it's all kitchen. Yeah. So yeah. Linda, Luca, I'm going to put you on hold for just a minute. We need to take a break. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Okay.
Thank you.
Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Windsor hears FM News Talk KSRO on Crystal Clear FM at 103.5.
Enjoy the harvest at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market. The market has lots of fall and winter veggies, nuts, and meats from your favorite farmers and ranchers. Aroma Floral has beautiful fall, pepper, and lavender wreaths. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market has artisan foods ranging from fabulous bread, olive oils, balsamic vinegar, marinades, tea blends, to hummus and handmade pastas. Browse the artisan area for handcrafted gifts. Start your day with friends at the market. They're here to greet you year-round Wednesday and Saturdays, 8:30 to 1 at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun. The market is committing to creating a safe place to shop, offering hand washing and sanitizer. Face masks are required.
Affordable Dentures and Implant offices here in the North Bay are safely open and ready to help you go ahead and smile. So whether it's a single tooth, full dentures, or dental implants, we're open. For 45 years, Affordable Dentures and Implants has created affordable access to dental care, and we're proud to have helped millions of people improve their smiles. Our number one priority has always been the health and well-being of our patients and staff, which is why we've added enhanced cleaning and disinfection measures and are taking extra precautions to welcome you into a safe and clean environment. Affordable Dentures and Implants is safely open and seeing patients in both our North Bay offices, Vallejo and Windsor. The Windsor office is located at 6580 Hembry Lane. Take the Shiloh Road exit off the 101 just north of Santa Rosa. To schedule a free new patient consultation, call 1-800-DENTURE or visit affordabledentures.com. Affordable Dentures and Implants. Go ahead and smile.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
And we are talking with Linda and Luca Chiti. If you knew the restaurant Cafe Chiti in Kenwood, we're not alone. Thousands of Sonoma Countyans enjoyed their marvelous food and hospitality for 30 years. Not to mention the tens of thousands of tourists that came and down Highway 12 coming and going to wineries between Napa and Sonoma.
So there wasn't, when you opened that, there wasn't much in Kenwood, was there?
There was not much in Kenwood 30 years ago when you took over the restaurant. Let me ask you this. How long do you think it will take to retrofit the whole pie location on 4th Street before you might be up and running?
Well, see, we hit the, you know, after we shed our tears, we hit the ground running, and we've been working hard all week. And I mean, we're blessed. We have an amazing staff. Everybody's, you know, rolled their sleeves up and are in the trenches with us. And we're doing everything we can to get running as soon as possible. But, you know, we have to, of course, go through all of our permit process and whatnot. So as soon as we can get things pushed along, we'll be open. We're certainly hoping, you know, before the holidays.
Oh, so before Christmas then, possibly,
or maybe even Thanksgiving, do you think?
Yeah, that would be ideal.
Yeah,
that would be ideal. So you know, we're trying to keep everyone employed that's been with us for, you know, the people that have stayed with us have been here with us for over 20 years.
Fabulous. And, are you going to have beer and wine also to go? Is that part of the package?
Yes. We are working with the ABC right now to transfer our license. And yes, we are still planning on having that available with our takeout. But probably one of the biggest exciting things is that you'll be able to get our pizza now all the time. It used to be a weekday thing we could only do because we were limited with space and ovens, but we'll be having that now 5 days a week.
And in the oven that's there from Whole Pie, will you be able to use that one, or are you bringing over your ovens?
We'll be able to use that, and also we have some other ovens coming from an old place here.
Fabulous.
A way to put it on, we will.
So the other big difference, Steve and John, is we're hoping to try to go to or integrate an online ordering system to make things a little smoother and easier. You know, it's hard to keep up on the phones. We had two lines, but, you know, people would call and say, oh, my God, the phone was busy. Mm-hmm. So we're hoping to do that and integrate that. But, of course, we're still going to deliver to our Oakmont customers, which we've been doing for the last 7 months for free. We realize that, you know, a lot of them can't come out with the pandemic, and we're going to take care of them.
Well, this is such exciting news. Mm-hmm. It's sad. It's bittersweet because you've closed one part of your life, one chapter, but opening another. And now you're going to be a lot closer to the radio station. You're only going to be about a minute and a half down at Whole Pie. Yeah. So we would like an order of puttanesca and AOP and Caesar salad. That right before you order, you come over and sit in with John and me, and we'll work on Luca's English some more. It was wonderful talking with you both, Linda and Luca. Best of luck. Keep us in the loop about when you're going to be opening, and we'll make it a big party, okay?
Oh, thank you so much. We appreciate the love and support.
Our pleasure. Thanks for talking with us this morning. Linda and Luca Chiti from Cafe Chiti. It will rise again in Santa Rosa. Back after this.
Petaluma hears FM News Talk KSRO on Crystal Clear FM at 94.5.
Enjoy the harvest at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market. The market has lots of fall and winter veggies, nuts, and meats from your favorite farmers and ranchers. Aroma Floral has beautiful fall, pepper, and lavender wreaths. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market has artisan foods ranging from fabulous bread, olive oils, balsamic vinegar, marinades, tea blends, to hummus, and handmade pastas. Browse the artisan area for handcrafted gifts. Start your day with friends at the market. They're here to greet you year-round Wednesday and Saturdays, 8:30 to 1 at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun. The market is committing to creating a safe place to shop, offering hand washing and sanitizer. Face masks are required.
Are you a wine lover? My name is Trini Amador, and my wife Lisa and I invite you to visit Graciana Winery, nestled in the Russian River Valley of Sonoma County on the world-famous Miracle Mile of Westside Road in Healdsburg. The Amador family is happy to announce that you can taste the most lauded Pinot Noir in America. Our 2018 Westside Reserve Pinot Noir, winning the prestigious Sunset Magazine International Wine Competition's Best in Show Award, beating out over 2,700 entries and winning four other major awards. Graciana was my French Basque great-grandmother, and when I was a boy, she used to talk a lot about being thankful. That's why Graciana wines are for those with something to be grateful for. Come and see why Graciana is ranked number one on TripAdvisor's Things to Do in Healdsburg. Join us for an intimate experience on the patio overlooking the vines to enjoy our authentic family-owned wine country hospitality. Make a reservation to visit us today or tomorrow, or ask your phone to call Graciana Winery in Healdsburg. Remember, Graciana makes wines for those with something to be grateful for.
Real Estate in Sonoma County carries on following all safety precautions to ensure the safety of both buyers and sellers.
The market is strong and the loan rates are still low. Thinking of selling? Buyers are waiting for your house to come on the market. If you're thinking of moving out of state, I can connect you with an agent from my network that I know and trust in the area you're moving to, and together we'll coordinate your move for a smooth transition. Give me a call and I'll give you some honest advice, let you know some easy steps you can take to make your house appeal to today's buyers, explain the current market, and help you find a good strategy, whether you decide to hire me as your realtor or not.
Allison Norman is a realtor with Keller Williams Realty and host of Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour, Sundays at 9 a.m. on KSRO. To discuss your specific real estate needs or to make a no-obligation appointment, call or text 707-799-3617. DRE license number 01720334.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
It's the KSRO Good Food Hour with Steve Garner and Chef John Ash. And John, you are such a news hound. You just find the stories that I can't seem to find. And you sent me this one. And why don't you tell our listeners what you discovered?
Well, I couldn't believe it. But Hormel, the Hormel company, has come up with the latest innovations in face masks. And this is one that has bacon scent in the, it's a contest, actually. So you have to enter, and if you win, you get one of these priceless face masks that smell like bacon.
It's remarkable. They're called the Hormel Black Label Breathable Bacon Mask.
Yeah.
And I have to admit, I entered the contest.
Yeah.
Here's the great thing about it, though. They're going to donate one meal to hunger relief organization Feeding America for every entry, up to 10,000 meals. So I entered, and you can enter until the 1st of November, and then they're going to, I guess, by random lottery, maybe I'll win a mask.
Yeah.
And if so, I'll wear it to the show, and we can share custody of the mask.
Okay.
Thanks. We'll talk next week.
Yes.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. Stick around at the table with Clark Wolf follows. I'm Steve Garner.